Thanks, Andrew. Well, welcome, everyone. Whether you choose to meet with us in this auditorium or the third element, which is our newest service on Sundays that meets off campus, God is here and He's there. We said that last week, didn't we? We say it again to remind ourselves He's here, He's there, He's everywhere. And we just are thankful last week in the third element, approximately 65 to 70 people chose to attend. And that made room. This room was totally full. The surrounding wooden benches were full as well. So we are thankful that God allowed many of you to choose to take that video venue over there and allow there to be room for other people. And we appreciate that. Today is a special day. And I very much agreed with in my spirit and in my mind with what was said to us a few moments ago about we are moving into a different time. And the old things have passed away, and everything is becoming new. Before I turn to the Word of God and talk to you from that, I want to share some exciting news to you that has to do with this new thing that God's doing. We are today launching out into the deep. We are launching a campaign called Rise and Build. That is exactly what we are in the process of doing, and now it is full steam ahead. Rise. If I put it in the modern vernacular, get off your butt, let's go, where God's doing something. And before I turn to the Word, I would like to have Andrew come up and talk with me for a few seconds and talk with you, because there are some visitors here today, and there may be some who attend occasionally, and you may not be appraised of the fact as to what is happening here at Koinonia Christian Fellowship. We are in the midst of erecting a base camp for God. We have 20, come on up here, Andrew. We have 20 acres approximately of property on Hanford Armona Road between 12th and 13th. We are putting up a facility and are excited about that. It started a few months ago. And this campaign, some people would call it a journey. Some people would call it an expedition. Some people would call it a path that we're now on. But whatever you want to term it, you and I are invited to participate. We're invited to be a part of this campaign. Now, Andrew, my question to you is, and you know as much, and I'm sure more of the details than I do, but is this a financial campaign only, or is it more than that, in your opinion?
It's not only a financial campaign. A lot of people will think that Rise and Build, because it's about building the building, is a fundraising campaign. In other words, all it is about is funds. And funds are important and obviously necessary in getting any building finished. Mm-hmm. But it's not a fundraising campaign, because if it's only about finances, it's only about funds, then we miss the whole point of everything that we're doing.
How many would agree with that?
We can't let it be about money alone. It has to be about raising the level of our spiritual understanding of how we can partner with God in the stewardship of our resources and find out what He wants to do through us. We cannot push. This is a God-sized project. You and I, by ourselves, thinking of what we can do by ourselves in terms of giving our finances, giving our resources, can't get this done. Mm-hmm. It's only when we partner with God in a deeper understanding of how He wants us to react and how He wants us to move in the stewardship of our resources that this can happen.
Yeah. So we do need to make sure we are praying and seeking the Lord and walking in faith. Matter of fact, we're starting a series next week. Why don't you tell them about that, about Nehemiah?
One of the things that we're going to be doing during Rise and Build is that we're going to be getting back into small groups for 7 weeks. And Pastor Tim is going to be teaching for the next 7 weeks on issues of faith. And in the small groups called Share and Prayer Groups, we're going to be studying the rebuilding of the walls around Jerusalem in the book of Nehemiah. And so we're really excited about that. You guys are all familiar with campaigns that we have done before. Our last campaign was 40 Days of Community, and before that it was 40 Days of discovery, and before that was 40 Days of Purpose. And so we're all familiar with campaigns. The reason why we do campaigns is because it aligns us as an entire church, or something really special that happens when we're all focused on learning and focusing on one thing, the whole church, the children's ministry, in small groups during the week, during the weekend services. That really does something powerful. And so that's what we're going to be doing this time, getting back into small groups for 7 weeks, studying the book of Nehemiah, coming on the weekend discussing that, and believing that God is going to meet us during that time.
Well, what I like about these small groups is that the material is very, very simple, and you just get together for an hour, one time a week. You'll have a time to open the Word of God, to talk a little bit about it, and then you'll pray, and specifically praying for specific things and including what God is doing here. Now, there are other ways that they can participate. Is that right?
Absolutely.
I'm a firm believer that nothing happens if we just observe. You know, there are too many people that are informed but not involved. And if information changed lives, then all of us ought to be perfect, because we have more information in the United States and in libraries and in books and on the Internet that it should change us. But it's through involvement that God changes us, so that builds the house. With understanding, he establishes it. And with knowledge, he fills it. This phase one is really building it. And then we're going to fill it. And we're just knowing that God is involved in this. For the past 3 or 4 years, God's been speaking to us and giving this vision. We've taken some steps. Even before I came to Hanford, steps were taken. And we stumbled. And we took some steps. And we stopped. And we took some steps and we stood. And now we're starting to walk. Walk by faith. You know, I have never seen a small child learn how to walk without falling. Everybody has to take a few steps and then fall flat on their faces and fall on their butts. And do you know something? We're going to fall again. We're going to stumble every now and then. It's not going to be a cakewalk. But the real thing, the real focus isn't, do you stumble? The real question is, do you keep getting up? And the finances that you have given personally, the sacrifices you have made over the past 3 or 4 years when God first began that, they have now been invested. They've been used. Every step that we've taken has been necessary. Every fall that we have fallen has been necessary for God to teach us how to walk. We need to walk by faith. And this is a brand new day. I agree with that word today. It's a brand new day, and we need brand new grace. Yesterday's manna is not enough. The Lord said it's D-Day. I'd like to say it's dream day. It's dream day. It's a celebration this weekend, as many of you know. We celebrate the memory of a man by the name of Martin Luther King. We recall a speech that he gave in 1963. It's an I have a dream speech. Some of it goes like this: I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, that the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at a table of brotherhood. This will be the day when all of God's children will be able to sing with a new meaning, my country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride, from every mountainside, let freedom ring. When we let freedom ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, free at last, thank God Almighty, we are free at last. That's an excerpt from that speech. I have a dream, was said. Let me tell you, church, God has a dream. The dream of building a building is his dream. Whether it be a dream for the world, a dream for a nation, a dream for us as a church, or a dream for us individually, it will never happen unless he gives us the keys. And the key to having a dream become a reality is the word called faith. Faith is the key that will turn dreams into realities. God has a dream for you. I hope you know that. You aren't just sitting around for no purpose. If you didn't have a purpose and God didn't have a dream, he might as well take you home. That's why we're still here, is because there's still some work yet to be done through us by him. He created you the way you are created. He actually placed you in the country that you were born in. He oversaw that. You were born in the country that you were born in because he arranged it to happen. You are living in this city, believe it or not, because he's placed you here. You're actually sitting next to someone. Right where you're sitting today is a divine place where he is overseeing that. He has a dream for you. If that dream is to happen, we have to have faith. We have to walk in faith. 1 Corinthians 13, Paul talks to us and he says, there are three things given to us. Three things that will help us make it through life. Faith, hope, and love. Love is the power. Hope is the fuel. And faith is the key. You may have a brand new Lexus sitting in your yard, and it may be full of fuel, and it may have a great power under the hood, but if you don't have a key, you ain't going nowhere. You got to have a key. You got to have something to start that. Hebrews chapter 4 says that people had the gospel preached to them and it didn't do any good because it wasn't connected with faith. When faith is activated, and that's what we're doing today for this new journey, for this new season, we're activating faith. Have you ever got a credit card, a new credit card? I'm not advocating that you do, but matter of fact, Financial Peace University is going to suggest you get rid of all your credit cards. But if you ever do get a new one, it usually will say, call this number before you use it. Because you have to call the number to activate it. We're calling G-O-D-J-E-S-U-S today. Saying, God, activate our faith. Because faith is what you need, God, to turn dreams into reality. This is a dream for this church. This statement in 1963 was a dream. I believe it's a dream that God has for people too. He wants freedom to reign in our hearts. He doesn't want you and I bound to sin and bound to these things that keep us from dreaming. You see, sometimes a dream will come to you at the oddest hours. It'll come to you even in the day. Daydreaming, they used to call it. I used to do a lot of that in school. But every straight night we're told we have dreams. How many of you dream in color? Any of you? You know that every night we have dreams, and aren't some of them bizarre? I mean, some of them are—they're like a fantasy world. You can't keep track of them. They're so out there. You know why? Because it's not bound to the human thinking. The dreams help us ascend beyond the realistic and enter into a new reality. They say that in Psalms, I think it's 126. It says that when we return from our captivity, all of a sudden, we were able to dream again. We were able to laugh again. We were able to sing again. You know, when you're bound by the reality of everything you see around you, you can't dream. I would like to go to Australia sometime. I mean, it's kind of like something. I've never been there, and it may not be what I imagine it to be, but I'd like to go. You know, I'd like to go for 3 months. That's kind of a dream that, boy, wouldn't it be nice to go for 3 months? But the minute I verbalize that, you know what comes to me? Oh, well, who will take care of the house over here? I've got a cat and I'll have to find someone to feed it. Man, how would I pay for the bills? What would I do about the job? See, all of these things that bind us, hinder us from dreaming big. And God says, I have a dream for you, and it has to become your dream. And the way it becomes your dream is through faith. So it's necessary, I believe, for me to hear what I have to say today, for me to hear what God has to say, for you to hear over the next several weeks, what is this thing called faith, so that we can begin to have the dreams, not that we have, but the dreams that God has for us, be actualized and happen among us. You know, Psalms, I forget the psalm right now. I think it's in chapter 37, and I'm pretty sure that that's true. It says, if you'll delight yourself in the Lord, he will give you the desires of your heart. It doesn't mean he'll give you, I don't believe it means he'll give you everything you want, but he'll give you the dreams that are his dreams. He'll make his desires your desires. You and I will start wanting what he wants. Do I want to build a building? No, I'm content right here, but I do want to do what he wants to do. See, there's the difference between I have a dream and he has a dream. And we are on board with his dream. And this is a year where God says, if you will activate your faith and begin to learn and grow your faith, then your dreams can become reality. Well, what is faith? It's by faith. In Hebrews chapter 11, it says that Abel offered up offerings better than Cain, and through faith, even though he's dead, he still speaks. See, faith is a key. If you were to read the whole book of Hebrews chapter 11, we're only going to look at verse 1 in just a moment. But if you were to read the other verses, you'd say, it says, by faith Enoch was taken up, and he didn't even have to die. By faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not seen, in reverence he prepared an ark for salvation. By faith, Abraham, when he was called and obeyed by going out to a place which he then received an inheritance by faith. By faith, Sarah, who was really, really old, received the ability to conceive even beyond the proper time. She gave birth to a son. And verse 32 says, what more shall I say about guys like Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel? I don't have time. Faith, in Hebrews chapter 12, is the key to make dreams become a reality. Chapter 11, verse 1, it says this. Would you put that up there with me for me, please? Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Would you read that with me? Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. If you're following in your notes that's in your bulletin, I want you to write down with me, faith sees the unseen. First thing we must know about faith is that it sees the unseen. I hope you've driven by the property recently. I hope you've prayed. I hope you've just pulled to the side of the road and stopped and looked. And if you haven't, I encourage you to do it this week. And when you look at that property, tell yourself what you see. Most of you will see a piece of land, a lot of dirt, mud, and some water. But there's a building there. There's a building there. You have to have 3D glasses to see it. It's called faith. But if you look, it's there. See, faith sees the unseen. Joshua, if you remember the story when he was told to go in and take the land, there was a city called Jericho, which was very, very built in such a way that it was impregnable by human forces. And God says to Joshua, see, I've given it to you. Well, if I were there and I were looking at Jericho, I'd say, what do you mean, see, you've given it to me? It's right there. No, you've got to see that it's there, but faith sees the unseen. It sees it as already happening. Now, years ago, when I started to do public speaking, I was very, very nervous. I was deathly afraid of people. For 6 to 7 years, every time I got an opportunity to be in front of people, I would always throw up. It's not a very graphic, not a great picture, but that's what would happen. There was so many nerves going on inside of me. I was petrified of being in front of people. Finally, after that many years, I says, God, I'm sick of being sick. And something either has to, I must have missed your dream for me because this isn't working. Well, as he began to deal with attitudes, I began to change. But I read a book in that season of time called Psycho-Cybernetics. I'm not recommending the book. But in that, it talks about closing your eyes and imagining or seeing yourself before a lot of people and speaking to them just the way that you want to speak. And as you speak to them, see yourself really waxing eloquent and doing a good job. And what will happen is your nervous system will experience a positive experience. And the more positive experiences you have, the more confidence that you will gain. Now, there's some truth in that, because if you go up and trying to teach a little boy or a little girl how to swing a bat and hit a baseball, if they keep striking out, you can see their confidence level just go down. But if they can hit four or five balls in a row, what happens? All of a sudden, confidence begins to build. So this book was advocating using your imagination. Now, imagination is a great gift that God's given to us. I use it all the time. But it's a dangerous gift. It's kind of like the internet. The internet is a wonderful, wonderful tool. I looked up things and can find things just in a moment of time without having to research and take what would used to take weeks to find. I can find it in a matter of minutes now. A wonderful thing, but there's so much danger in the internet. Imagination is so wonderful, but there's a danger of entering into the fantasy realm. Many, many guys especially cross the line, and the imagination at that point becomes something that's detrimental rather than something that's positive. But imagination isn't faith. See, imagination is seeing something, but it's seeing what's imaginary, what's unseeable. Faith sees the unseen, but it is seeable because it is really there. Faith sees a second reality. See, our eyes are seeing a reality now, but there's a new reality. There's a bigger reality that's out there. How do we activate the faith? Number two, it has to focus on something. Faith, in order to be activated, in order to actually see the unseen, has to focus beyond the temporal. What does it say in Hebrews chapter 12:2? Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. If you're going to have faith, you must focus not on what is close, but what is far away. You have to look beyond what is presently here and see what is beyond. I like that old song by, I even forget now, was it the Oak Ridge Boys or someone who sang it years ago, he looked beyond my faults and he saw my need. When you take a picture with your cameras, digital or whatever type you have, and you focus on something, it will focus on what's closest. And everything else behind it will be a blur. Faith is just the opposite. Faith chooses not to focus on what is obviously seen, but it chooses to focus on what is not seen, something that's beyond the temporal. So in other words, when I'm going through the fire and it looks like I'm going to get burned, when I'm going through the water and it looks like I'm going to drown, what I focus on is not the water and not the fire, but I focus on God, who is powerful enough to save me from the fire. Isaiah chapter 43 says, when you go through the waters, they won't drown you. When you go through the fire, you won't be burned, because I am your God. So when I'm going through the fire, when I'm going through the water, what I do is I say, I refuse to focus on that. I can't ignore it because it's hurting right now, but I'm going to focus on the truth that is ahead of that which is seen right now. Now, when you focus on that, all of a sudden faith begins to grow. Jesus, our God and our Father, this morning, he let us know that we're not just servants, but we're his friends. Oh, thank you, Lord. You know why he can do that? Because he doesn't look at your past. As a matter of fact, his focus isn't even on what you are doing right now. His focus is on what you can be. He's looking ahead of even your actions. His love isn't going to stop. He's not going to stop reaching out to you. Why? Because he sees your potential. He focuses on beyond today. That's why we keep investing in things, isn't it? That's why he keeps investing in us. He knows what we can be. I know if I just put another transmission in this car, it's going to be a good car. I know I see some potential in this house. If I just put some more plumbing, and if I just put some more tile, and if I just do this, it will eventually become what I want it to become, because you keep seeing beyond what you have. That's what faith does. It focuses on that which is ahead. Thirdly, here's the good news. Romans chapter 12, 3. Faith has been given to everybody. For by grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith that God has given to you. All of us have been given a measure of faith. We'll talk in this series next week about the prayer of faith as we look at Nehemiah and how he began to pray. We'll look at the word of faith, because it talks about the word of faith given to us. And I'll make even a couple of comments and a little bit about that today. But here, we've all been given a measure of faith. So the question isn't, do you have faith? The question is, where do you exercise your faith? Every day that we get up, we exercise faith. I heard this week, about an airline pilot who was drunk. He was intoxicated and flying a plane. And every time you get onto a plane, I'll be getting onto a plane in a few months and doing leadership conference in Holland. And when I do, I'm putting my confidence, my trust, my faith in someone I've never even met. We exercise faith every straight day. We've been given faith. Where do we exercise it? That's the question. Faith is revealed, number four, in times of difficulty. Faith is revealed in times of difficulty. You see, difficulty will reveal the level of faith that you and I have. It will tell us if we've been doing our homework. You remember back into your college days or your high school days, and some of you are in college or high school, but you show up and the teacher says, I've got a test for you. They hadn't told you, but there's a test or a quiz. And it reveals if you've done your homework or not. You take that test. We're going to be tested this next 9 months. See, it's almost like we're pregnant. We're going to give birth to something. It takes 9 months to give birth to a child. It takes a lot longer to give birth to an elephant. So it's taken a few years for this birth to come about, because this is bigger than just the normal thing. The first trimester is very, very important in any pregnancy. You got to watch over the baby. You got to take care of things. Boy, these first 3 months for us, it's critical that we watch over what God is saying to us corporately to take care of things. We're going to be tested in our faith. But that's good, because I don't want to live in deception. I don't want to think that I'm a great man of faith when I'm really not. There are some people who think that they are this way, but it's all head faith. You know, there are 6 or 7 different types of faith that the Bible talks about. And one of them is a head faith, just a historical faith. Well, I believe in God. Well, it says the devils even believe in God. So it's possible to have that type of faith and nothing happen. There may be even people here today in this service that you have a belief in God. And if you said, do you believe in God? You would say, yes. But there's nothing that's happening in your life. There was nothing that was happening in my life until that head faith became some other type of faith. It was activated and began to move. Difficulty will reveal the level of faith that we have. See, difficulties don't create things inside of you. They just reveal things, what's inside of you. I call it the toothpaste principle. When you're squeezed, what comes out? Because when we go through a time of being squeezed, what's in there is going to come out. Faith in difficult times next can turn everything around. Number five, faith in difficult times, when activated, can turn everything around. Faith can turn difficulties into divine opportunities. Faith can take dark times and make them into times when God deepens our relationship and our character. Faith can take delays and turn them into stepping stones rather than stumbling blocks. Faith, and Joseph experienced this in the Old Testament, he can take even evil and make it work out for their good. You designed this for evil, but because of my faith in God, he turned it around and made it work out for my good. Faith, last of all, Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is what? It's impossible to please God. That scripture alone, church, tells us why we've got to understand this thing called faith. Why you and I must begin to exercise our faith. Because it pleases God. Whenever he looks down and he sees his people walking in faith, it just causes something to happen inside of him. The righteous shall what? Live by faith, not by sight. See, life comes from faith. If you're not experiencing a lot of spiritual life inside of you, if there's not a pulse in your spiritual man, it means that you're living by sight, because life comes by faith. The righteous shall live by faith. Faith shall be their life. Life shall come from faith. Let me conclude today by giving you just 7 things that you and I can do to increase our faith. These aren't in your notes, but if you want to jot them down mentally or even in your notes, you're welcome to do so. Number one, why don't you start and just ask for faith. Mark chapter 9, 24, a dad cried out and he said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Yes, I stand before you today and I have some faith. But you know, I have some unbelief as well. And I say, Lord, man, wherever you find a lack of faith, wherever you find just a little faith, I pray, would you increase my faith? The disciples prayed for that when he said to them, he says, man, you're going to have to forgive people 70 times 7. And the disciples says, oh, increase our faith. Oh, and my prayers, God, I ask you. I just start there. I ask you, increase my faith. Number two, begin to focus on God's word. See, faith sees the unseen, but then it begins to focus on something, and focusing on God's word. See, God's word is true. And the truest thing that will be said about you or me is what God says about you and me. It's not what others say about us. It's not how we feel about ourselves. It's not even how we've learned to think about ourselves. The truest thing is what God says about us. So we have to focus on his word. And starts by looking at the word that he's given to us in written form. And along with that, Philippians 4 says, number 3, focus on what's positive. Finally, brethren, he says, whatever is true, what's noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think on those things. You set your mind now. You set your mind to think upon those things. That's the third thing we can do. Fourth thing, begin to speak truth. Begin to speak truth externally. Romans 10 talks about hearing the word of God, and faith comes by hearing the word of God. Externally, speak it. I'll talk more about that when we come to the time when we talk about the word of faith. It's near you. It's even in your mouth. But not only that, next, number 5, speak the truth internally. Self-talk. How many of you talk to yourselves? Don't come on. All of you do. I know you do. You know, you just don't want to admit it. But there's a lot of self-talk going on. That's where we need to start talking the truth and declaring that. You can do that. Number 6, here's something you can do. Stop hanging out with people who don't have any faith. Find someone who's got a little bit of faith and hang with them. Get away from those people that always see what can't be done and see the negative side of life. Get with some people who have a little bit of faith. Get with some people who are in the Word and they know Jesus and they're not going to be blown away. You know, without faith, you become frantic. There's a lot of people, when they hit crisis, they just fall apart because they haven't any faith. They haven't done their homework. They haven't walked with God. Psalm says, seek God when he can be found, because when waters come, when the tsunami comes over your life and my life, we will fall apart if we're not stable in God, because faith, with those moments, will rise up, and the frantic way that many people respond to things won't have to happen for us. Why? Because we're rooted in Jesus. See, faith will carry us through those times. So hang with some people. Last of all, do something as an act of faith. James says that faith without works is dead. Listen, become a part of this campaign these years, these next few months. Don't just let this opportunity go by. When I ask you or invite you to go buy that property and pray, do that. That's an act of faith. Give something. Participate. Act on your faith. Don't let it just stay up here, or it won't do any good. I mean, you and I are just wasting our time if we only come just to hear a good message. I came today to change. Amen. I came today to be different. Every time I come to church or every time I'm in a small group, I don't want to leave the same type of person. I don't want to just go for information. I want God to do something in me. Well, that only happens with faith being exercised. Sign up today. Stretch. You don't even feel comfortable about going to a small group or being on a team. Do it anyway. See what God does when you step out in faith. Faith begins to change and turn everything around. I pray today that we will walk in faith, because this is D-Day. This is Dream Day. God has a dream for us. Jesus, thank you very much for having a dream for us. I'm going to invite the ushers to come at this time, and in just a moment, we're going to receive those cards. If you know, there may be some here, you just really, with integrity, you can't fill that information sheet out today. And if that's right, that's you, please take it home and get it back to us as soon as you can. But if you're able to do that, what I'd like to have you do is fill it out. If you want to lead a small group, put an L, as Andrew said. Put a P if you want to participate. And just put it in the offering as we receive. And also, if you'd like to contribute today, we take an offering once a month. That's been our custom, to release the finances for this new vision that God has. And if you'd like to do that as well, we'd like to give you an opportunity for that. Let me pray first of all, Lord. Now, Father, as we conclude today, we've been instructed by you that faith is the key that opens the door for dreams to become reality. I pray, Lord, that as we exercise our faith now and do an act, whether it be giving finances or whether it be filling out a card or in our own heart just deciding that we're going to act upon what we've heard, I pray that you would grace us and develop us and help your dream become true for us as a congregation here. And everybody said, amen, amen. As they receive, let me tell you a couple of words that I've heard. One of them is from Kevin Costner, an actor, and one of them is from God. By the way, this series that I'm about to do, I was going to call Growing Pains. I've changed it to Turning Dreams into Reality. It's a better title for what God wants to do. It's about faith, and faith brings growth, and faith will bring some pain. No pain, no gain. So that was the original title. It's the same substance, but just a different title now. But here's what I hear Kevin Costner. How many of you know who he is? He starred in lots of movies, but one of them was Field of Dreams. You remember that famous phrase? If you build it, they will come. Boy, that sounds almost like God. But no, it's Kevin Costner. If you build it, they will come. And I believe that to be true about this vision that God's given to us. But here's what I really believe is from the Lord. If you build it, I, your God, will use it to build you. That's what I've heard him say. If You will build it. If you will put all of your heart into the vision that I have for you, God says, and you build it, I will use it to build you. Rick Warren, a name that all of us are familiar with, has coined the phrase purpose-driven church. He even has a number of churches that are affiliated with him, and they're called purpose-driven churches. I don't see us as a purpose-driven church, even though I see us being directed by God with a whole lot of purpose. If I were to define who we are, I would call us a process church. A process church. We're in process. Ephesians 2 says that we're his workmanship. We're under construction. We're helping people process life. Every day, we're taking a person for however long they're given to us, helping them process life and become what God wants them to be. How does God process us? He uses process items. Have you ever been, can you think of a time when God used something in your life to shape you? Maybe it was an experience with someone. Maybe it was you had a terrible experience in some way, but God used that to shape you. That was called a process item. This building is a process item. God wants to use it to reach a lot of people. He wants to use it to release a lot of people. But he also wants to use it to build you and me. And it won't happen unless we are totally involved in our hearts. It's a process item that God is using for 2005. Last year, as I stood before you in January, I said, I see a picture. I see something. It's unseen. It's a picture of a boat. It's a picture of a sailboat. It has no motor and has no oars, but it has a mast. And if we'll put the mast up, the wind will start to blow, and it will take us where he wants us to go, because it's the breath of the Spirit. We talk about we're desperate this morning for the breath of the Spirit. Breathe on us. As our mast goes up, and we're launching today. We're launching today. The mast is up, and we're saying, Holy Spirit, breathe on us and take us where you want us to go so that we can be whatever you want us to be. I trust that you've picked up that from the Spirit today. Stand with me as we dismiss. We have about 5 minutes and have a little bit of fellowship, but just before you leave, would you bow your heads with me? There may be some here today. I don't know everyone, but you may be here and you've never put your faith in Jesus Christ. And you today know you have faith. You've been given that. And you would like to start a journey with God and begin to learn about him and would say, today, I want to put my faith in Jesus Christ. If that's you, would you just raise your hand so that I can pray for you? Yes, 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 yes. Lord Jesus, we thank you for these people who are raising their hands to put their faith in you. I'm not sure, Lord, if this is the first time for all of them or if it's a time where they are rededicating their lives. Either one, Lord, it's so extremely significant and important and wonderful. I pray, Lord, that as they decide today to put their faith in you, you, in fact, Lord, will reveal that you have confidence in them because now they have your Son Jesus living in them. As they have repented from their sins now in that moment of time, as they turn now to you, I pray that you would teach them how to walk. For those of you who raised your hands, and you can look at me now, and there were a number of hands that went up. If that was your first time doing that, I would love to have you come down and receive one of these packets. There are packets over here that are available. We would want you to have one of these to help you. If you raised your hand and this wasn't the first time that you committed yourself to the Lord, but this is a recommitment for you, I would love to have you come down and let us pray with you as well so that we could send you on your way kind of in that confidence that we are standing with you. So today we just rejoice that God's with us. He's spoken to us. Send you out of this place full of Holy Spirit. Give 100 people a hug, okay? Would some people come down and make yourselves available to pray for those who would come? Thank you.